So this gospel of the vine and the branches, it's a familiar image that Jesus has given us, and we've all heard it 1,000 times, and it really is a fitting understanding that, like, he's the vine, we're the branches. You cut a tree branch off of a tree, it shrivels up and dies pretty quickly. You know, it's not bearing a lot of fruit from a dead tree branch. And this idea that we remain in him, we stay tied together, connected, rooted in Christ, and from there we draw our life. That should resonate in the hearts and minds of all of us, that's the truth. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. But this idea of remaining, it's the concept, the word remaining, it's something that it appears 8 times in this short gospel. In 8 verses, it appears 8 times. Remain in me. Unless you remain in me, you will not bear fruit. Remain in me as I remain in the Father. Remain in me as I remain in you. Remain, 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 remain. Okay, so got it. Remain in Jesus. But what does that look like? Like, practically speaking, in real life terms, if we're talking 2024, we're trying to remain in Jesus. What does that mean? What does that look like? Or how do we do it? And I feel like we could almost like have a Venn diagram up here of like, okay, are you remaining in Jesus? Yes or no? And to answer those questions, I think that's where the second reading comes in. And we don't always go to the second reading. A lot of times I kind of skip the second reading in favor of the first reading or the gospel. But today I feel like this second reading perfectly nuances the gospel. So it's from the letter of St. James. And the second half of this is he's talking about remaining. And he says, those who keep his commandments remain in him and he in them. So, to answer the question, am I remaining in Jesus, yes or no? The first follow-up question we would ask to that is, are you keeping his commandments? The answer is no, I'm not keeping his commandments. Then I would say, you're probably not remaining in Jesus. It's not me, that's John, okay? That's scripture. So to ask that question, am I in the state of grace? Am I following those precepts, the bare bones minimum of what the church has laid out? Am I going to Mass every Sunday? Am I going to confession at least once a year during the Easter season, either during Lent or during Easter? Am I participating in the life of the sacraments? Am I showing up? Am I receiving from the Lord? Or have I separated myself? And that, for us Catholics, it's a helpful, I don't know, a distinction of mortal sin. Am I in the state of mortal sin or not? And what mortal sin, you know, it's those 3 conditions. Do I have full knowledge of whether or not something is wrong? Do I fully consent of whether or not I'm going to do this thing? And is it a serious, a grave, or serious matter? And if we check all 3 of those boxes, bam, we have mortal sin. And the real tragedy with mortal sin is that we can't merit when we are in the state of mortal sin. It cuts us off. God's life within the soul is cut off and severed. It's cutting a branch off from the tree, cutting a branch off from the vine, and it shrivels up and dies, and it cannot bear fruit. It's like the soul in the state of mortal sin, it's like if your soul is a cup, a glass, or a bucket, or a jug, you got your soul out here, and it's receiving, you know, there's rain that's going into it, or I'm pouring a pitcher into this cup, and as it pours, it fills and fills and fills and fills. But mortal sin's like putting a lid on that. And the grace is still being offered. God is still offering us grace constantly, but the soul in the state of mortal sin can't receive it. And so that grace hits the lid and bounces off, and that soul stays stuck. And instead of being filled, they stay flat. Now, if you were to take that and to put it onto a graph, and you have a holiness bar on a graph and a time bar on the graph, right? And you're growing in holiness, and you're moving along, and then you get stuck in mortal sin, you don't go up anymore. But time keeps going. So you flatline, right? And you stay flat. Time still keeps going, but the person stuck in mortal sin is not going up. But here's what that looks like with the people around you, though. So if you're going along and you get stuck here and you flatline, but everybody else around you continues to grow. Your spouse is continuing to grow, and your kids are continuing to grow, and you stay stuck here for a week or two or a month, like, you know, the difference between those two is not that much. But you come out here 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and you have somebody who's continuing to grow and somebody who stays stuck and flatlined, and you come out here, and it's a vast difference. And I'm telling you, I've lost track of how many times I've heard, I've you know, been doing marriage prep with couples, or not even just marriage prep or marriage counseling, all these things, and that difference between them is felt. They can feel there's something off where one of them is growing and one of them is staying flat, and it causes tension between them within their marriage or within their kids. When you see your kids surpassing you in the spiritual life and you feel stunted. And I don't know how many parents I've talked to, they feel silly because they see their kids way up here and they're like, man, they've passed me. If that's the case, the only thing that we know, the only tool that we have been given to correct that situation is the sacrament of confession. Confession is what takes the lid off of that cup and restores us to right relationship, to where we can start filling that cup back up again. Those who keep my commandments remain, those who keep his commandments remain in him and he in them, according to John. So, okay, I'm in the state of grace. I know I'm in the state of grace. I go to confession regularly. Am I remaining in him? That's the next question. And I wouldn't even say it's an automatic, okay, I know I'm in the state of grace, therefore I'm automatically remaining in him. Hold up. I don't think it's just that simple. It's that automatic. Okay, I'm in the state of grace. How would I know if I'm remaining in him? Well, John gives us the answer to that as well, the very next sentence. The way we know that he remains in us, how do we know? The way we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit that he gave us. If you want to know whether or not you are remaining in the Lord, look for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit present, evident in your life? Yes or no? And how would you know that? How would you know? How would you be aware that, like, yeah, the Holy Spirit's in my life? I would direct you to Teilhard. He was a theologian, kind of one of the fathers of the Second Vatican Council, influenced John Paul II and several others. He said this, and it's worth repeating, and it's worth committing to memory. Joy is the infallible sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. Joy is the infallible sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to ask the question, am I remaining in God, yes or no? Well, then, do you have the Holy Spirit, yes or no? How do I know if I have the Holy Spirit? Is there presence of joy in your life, yes or no? If you can't see the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, and if you maybe you can't see it in yourself, ask the people around you. They'll tell you. Is there joy present and evident in your life? That's an infallible sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if the answer to that question is no, then my friends, there's a chance you might not be remaining in Jesus the way you would hoped you would, or the way you hoped you were, or maybe to the optimal ability. And when I say presence of joy, I'm not talking happy, clappy, like just stupid, giddy all the time. That's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about an enduring sense of God's presence with you. I'm talking about perseverance in the midst of difficulty. Probably in my lifetime, the single greatest witness of joy that I have ever personally experienced was when I was a hospital chaplain, and this is more than 10 years ago, and I went to one of the hospital rooms I visited was a young couple that just had a miscarriage at 14 weeks. And the baby lived for a few hours outside the womb. And the mother asked me if I wanted to hold her baby. And of course I said yes, knowing that this child had been baptized, that I was literally holding the body of a saint. And as I'm holding her son, and she's crying, she's weeping, but just saying, I am so grateful that the Lord chose me. The Lord saw fit to entrust this life into my hands for the few hours that he was here. I'm so grateful that I got to love this child, and all this child knew was love. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I've been all over the world. I've been to St. Peter's. I've been to Notre Dame. I've been to the Holy Land and the Holy Sepulchre. But I have never felt a holier place, holier ground than that hospital room. Absolutely unquestionable presence of the Holy Spirit. Joy. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. And if that is not present in your life, then I'm just begging you, please do something about it. That is the way Christians are supposed to live. And it's not just a select few super holy people that happen to figure out the secret and that and maybe they can live that way and the rest of us kind of have to struggle and get along. Remaining in Christ is the task of a Christian. However many years God happens to give you on this planet, maybe it's 20, maybe it's 110, your first task, your first goal, your first priority, the most important, the single most important thing that you can do is to remain in Christ. And from that, literally everything else will flow. So it's worth examining, is there joy in my life, that deep sense of joy? If the answer is yes to that, the good chance the Holy Spirit is working in you and through you, and there's a good chance you are remaining in the Lord. And if the answer to that is no, then I would just ask you, do something about it. It's not one of those things you have to wait for. It's not one of those things you have to kind of hope that something changes at some point in the future. And if you don't know where to begin, come see me. That's what I'm here for. Start praying. And maybe that could be a tall task. You're like, what the heck? I don't even know what the heck I'm supposed to be doing when I pray. Well, we'll talk about that in the future too. We'll get there. Brothers and sisters, I just ask you to take seriously this call from the Lord to remain with him. Remain in him. If you do that, I promise you will bear fruit.